Ben Shapiro and the neocons and all the rest of them. America is ours. We put Trump in there. We are not going to have George W. Bush, who was bragging a month ago that the neocons are going to take back control of America. You're not. And the globalist leftists are not going to have control. And yeah, Trump's got near record low poll numbers because of a bunch of missteps we've talked about. He's starting to correct. But the Democrats are even lower in every major index, 18 points on how the public sees them. Trump's at 39 in general polling, 36 in the economy. So yeah, Trump's dropping. And he's got a course correct because people are pissed. They want action. And he's got to explain, no instant delivery. And I said what his speech needed to be that he gave a few nights ago. Talk about lowering energy on average 40%. Talk about the good areas. Talk about things that are starting to happen. But explain, it's not overnight. It was a big mistake saying, I'll fix it day one. I'll end the Russia war day one. I'll end inflation day one. Sure got you elected, but I was like, that's going to bite you in the butt. Come on. Don't even under-promise, over-deliver. Promise what you think you can do and then deliver. So CNN forced to admit inflation is coming down under Trump. No other way to spin it. It's true. They've slowed it in general. It's rises like this. It's, you know, now it's kind of like that. And a lot of areas in energy and stuff, it's gone way down. You know, they've cut actually, but people still feel it. So here's a clip from CNN even having to admit the truth.
I mean, I was surprised. It was a better number than anyone was expecting. Look, inflation's been very high. Mm-hmm. It's stayed high. It has not been coming down. But, you know, people were expecting it to be above 3%. It was well below 3%. I mean, I think the president will take this as good news. The investors will think that interest rates will get cut more. So, you know, it was a positive news. There's no other way to spin it.
Absolutely.
And it's absolutely true that if Jerome Powell would have cut interest rates like he did for Biden and all the rest of it, and then we would actually be turning this around. And you're like, well, that'll cause inflation. We're getting that no matter how you slice it, because all the major governments are inflating. So you want to have an expansion, increase pay, and that mitigates the inflation. It's the two choices. Stagflation, the Great Reset, by design, poverty, austerity, or expansion. And that's where we are. Polling signals serious trouble for Democrats in upcoming midterms. Zero Hedge, at least a whole bunch of government numbers and corporate polls. Voters are delivering Democrats in Congress a brutal verdict heading in 2026 midterm cycle, which is 18% approving of their performance and a staggering 73% disapproving. The worst rating Quinnipiac has recorded for them since the beginning in 2009. And all the other polls show the same thing. So Democrats are on average about 18-point approval, okay? So you go, oh, look, Trump's at 39. Yeah, bitch. People are pissed, but they really don't like you. So when we look at all these bad numbers for Trump, those can be reversed if he explains they're the ones. Like, all major blue states are control getting the tax on tips. They collect the money. They're saying they're going to still collect it. They're not even doing that. They're obstructionists. I'm challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping. helping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams, that's a daily serving per gummy, huge container of them, such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, canceling time, and it reorders every month, and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, at the Alex Jones store.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Took my family away from my Carolina home. Had dreams about the West and started to roam. 6 long months on a dust-covered trail. They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell. And there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air. Rolling them hills and it's waiting for me there.
I say this pretty much every broadcast, it's true. Birds of a feather fly together. So people that love to lie, cheat, and steal, they all get together. And as time goes on with corruption, if it's not dealt with, they just egg each other on, and they get more and more corrupt and evil, and they radicalize. And then the old corrupt people die, and then even worse people get in charge. And then you just get total psycho cuckoo land. Well, it's the same thing for good people. The more good people you get standing up, the more stand up. Courage is contagious, and then you get better and better and better and better people, and that's when you get golden eras. We're not going to get to the golden era in 5 minutes. And so I called all of it on the Epstein. I understand basically every angle of it. I talked to the people that have the best record and sources on it, what was happening. And Roger Stone told me when President Trump just got elected on election night, or the next day, he said, we're going to have a big Epstein problem. Because he used to be Trump's wingman in between divorces, doing double dating and stuff, 50-year big buddies. He said, the CIA's come to him. It's Mossad, MI6, royal family. He said, now, I didn't get that from Trump, which means he did. And he didn't tell me that. I'm just telling you. And he said, you're not going to get any of it because the Democrats have already gotten rid of most of the real stuff, all the videos and stuff that the FBI grabbed out of his compounds in New York and the Caribbean and places like New Mexico. And he said, so this is going to be a big deal. And then Kyle Servin's been coming on for a long time, but he was on right when Trump got back in. He's like, yeah, they're going to set them up with all this stuff with these emergency managers and make them look like fools with this whole Bondi thing with the folders and all that. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse. But at the end of the day, Trump, for national security issues, and I don't agree with it, is covering up for the royal family, is covering up for Israel, and the CIA was involved in the background of all this stuff. And it was a huge money laundering operation, buying off Harvard, buying off MIT, and just it. The underage girls was just like an hors d'oeuvre. These guys didn't need to be compromised, Bill Gates and Ehud Barak, the Israeli prime minister, and all the rest of them. They were the compromisers. So I don't belittle the sex trafficking and all the rest of it. That's a big part of it, but it's not the main engine. And I've been covering it since it first broke. I'm not the first guy to talk about Epstein, but I've been talking about him since he first got, you know, arrested down in Florida. And I know how these networks work. He's just one of many. And so you go back to ancient Rome, you know, when it was declining, they had weird sex cults around the government. That's how the Chinese and the Russians and everybody, you watch a James Bond movie, you know, written by the former deputy head of the OSS and the MI6, Ian Fleming. Constantly, the hot chick comes in that's a spy to try to set him up and get information or kill him. I mean, because that's, especially under HUMET, before they went to Signals, like, oh, Candace Owens. There's all these Egyptian, meaning Israeli, planes following her. They follow your cell phone. They hack your computer. They're not following you with planes. The point is that this is a disaster for Trump. And I predicted it, and everybody predicted it, that if he obliquely joined the cover-up, the Democrats would selectively hang it around his neck. Evidence last week, they give the estate a few months ago of Epstein over to them, 90-plus thousand files. They picked 19 files. And it's Trump at public events with beauty queens and stuff, and they black their faces out. And MSNBC says, is that the girls? Do they black them out because they're victims? And we debunk it quickly, but the point is, it doesn't matter. Because Trump joined in it because he was convinced to do it, because it's just a big rat's nest. It's the new Russiagate. They're going to pin it on you. It's already been hidden, sir. A lot of powerful people are going to be brought down. It's going to embarrass America and the Queen of England and the King of England. And now they're all on board with Trump, just kissing his ass. Because I said two ways. Trump could say, justice be done, may the heavens fall, destroy the deep state with this information. They probably would kill him, though, he tried. Or he takes the file and uses it to blackmail him. And then I said, that's a dangerous game. They'll stab you in the back. So that's my synopsis. I'm going to shut up. So always talk over him. Kyle Servant's here. We're going to go through all this. And then we'll get later into him nailing it to the day. Said like 3 months ago, 2 months ago, a month ago, by Christmas, Bongino gone. Then days before, he says he's going to announce his resignation this Friday. And he's either going to leave the 28th or the 3rd. I mean, we're talking hole-in-one nailing it. Totally insane. And then how does that tie into Cash Patel? Who's going to replace him? Where's this going? So, and a bunch of other angles. So I'm going to shut up, Kyle, until we go to break in 16 minutes, because I got to shut up. I want you to be able to roll here with how huge this is. But obviously, we should tackle this DOJ issue first, and also the issue of, they call it the files. There's grand juries. There's the stuff that Epstein's turned over to Congress. There's the grand juries. There's the criminal trials. There's the civil trials. This is an endless cornucopia. And I get when Trump says it's a Russiagate, because it is a rat hole. He should articulate that. Instead of just saying it's all a hoax, which is the number one thing in polling, pissing people off after the economy. So Kyle Serafin, got your hit morning show that you do, thekyleserafinshow.com, Kyle Serafin on X, rumble.com/Kyle Serafin. Thank you so much. Let's get right now into Epstein and these latest developments. DOJ won't meet Friday deadline to release all the Epstein files. Well, Congress said they're going to go to war with this and tee this up to make it the major issue. So they just walked right into the trap. You don't think a Democrat lawyer doesn't know that? Oh, we're protecting you, sir. From what? And we've got Bongino saying, we've got them saying he's best friends with Epstein with no evidence. I'm going to shut up. Kyle Serafin.
Well, first of all, this is really predictable. They've been telling us they were not going to give us these files from the beginning because we just got this slow drip of nothing. We got Bindergate, right? You remember they announced that the files were on my desk. That was Pam Bondi. Whether that was a setup trying to make her look bad early on or not doesn't really matter, because you could just follow the trail. The trail has been promise something, deliver nothing. Promise something, deliver nothing. Say that we're working on something, show you none of what we're working on. It doesn't mean the FBI doesn't have files, but to suggest that they were a truckload of files and they were all hidden over at some part of DOJ, which was the early inclination. If you remember, the initial story went something like this. I'm demanding all the files. Bring them all to me. I have all the files. They're now on my desk. I found out those aren't all the files. I just got made fool of in front of everybody, and I did it on national television. So now we're going to go. We found out who the culprit is. It's the Southern District of New York, who you hate. And then you look and you go, well, the Southern District of New York actually answers to DOJ. They answer to the Attorney General. What are you talking about? One of your subsidiaries is not doing their job. Oh, it's the New York field office is the problem, what they also said from the FBI. Who's hiding these things? At the end of the day, if you have director level access to the FBI's file and record keeping system, and if you're the Attorney General of the United States and you cannot access things that you have within your agency, then you're not in charge. And I think that there's been this subtle sort of expression that that's been the case the whole time. I make the argument regularly when I come and talk to you, Alex. I think that DOJ has not been rooted out of corruption in the people that run things, whether it be, mid-level managers, the high-level managers, and below the appointees. They're still there doing what they think is right. And if you don't have years of experience of knowing how to find these things, if you're Cash Patel, Dan Bongino saying, they briefed me on these files, if you're Pam Bondi going on the word that your FBI director gave you and you can't take that to the bank, how are you in charge? We're talking about an intelligence agency, and how do they view power? It's based on information. That's always what the Epstein files were about. Whatever's in there, which we can speculate all day long because we don't have access to them. But there's a reason why Tom Massie wanted to put this through. There's a reason why Donald Trump turned and said, Massie, just because you're being consistent on this particular point, which he has been, I think, Marjorie Taylor Greene, consistent, saying that this needs to come out, the sort of, you know, destroy it. And if it takes everything down around it, so be it. The truth is worth it. I think some of us believe that. We've seen that that's not what is being whispered into the ear of Donald Trump, at least based on the way that he's reacted to these people. So who's surprised that we've got Todd Blanche now coming out from DOJ saying we're not going to meet this deadline? Well, the deadline is federal law. So what you're telling me is that you are not going to comply with federal law, and you are the lead prosecutor. You are the Justice Department. That's job. You're tasked with enforcing federal law. So we have a real crisis here. There's no other way to say it. There's nothing good about what that means. We've got people that have decided that they don't care, and they called Congress's bluff, which is what I was kind of suggesting to you the other day. What are they going to do? Cut off funding? I mean, you tell me, Alex, are they going to cut off funding to DOJ? Are they going to cut off funding to the FBI or any entity underneath? Because I haven't seen them have the balls to do this yet. This is yet another moment where, you know, it's going to be a hearing and some letters, and maybe we're going to have some people come out and do theater, and there'll be some outrage.
Well, Kyle, don't ask me to interject or I'm going to start talking over you. I want to hear anything else, but obviously,
talk right there. This is
what happens. The Democrats are going to have hearings. They're not going to put pressure to release all this stuff because they know it's way worse for them. They've already figured all this out. And Trump's not sophisticated enough. He just knows it's a new Russiagate thing. And so they're playing Trump. This is going to become a huge fiasco. It'd be 10 times worse than it is. It's a total disaster. What do you recommend Trump should do?
You've got to actually do the thing that federal law says you're going to do. If you're going to have someone call the bluff, then there's two ways you could do it. If you think that there are elements within your own executive branch that are not complying with what your party pushed forward, right? It was an almost unanimous vote in the House, and the Senate moved it before they even saw it. So this is the stuff that Tom Massie was talking about. They passed it through. They thought there was going to be some sort of comment on it. Democrats call the bluff. Fine. Put it all out. So what? What happens next? The truth? And we just deal with it. It's not like Trump can be reelected. So I just struggle with people that make empty threats and never follow through on them. You and I were talking the other day about being parents. I've got four kids. You got four kids. You remember it. I'm going through it right now. If I make a threat to one of my children, you do this and the consequences will be fill in the blank. And they don't do it. If they don't follow through, they don't listen to their mother, they don't listen to me, I've got to follow through. Even if I don't want to, it doesn't feel great to go out there and punish your children, but you have to do it for their own sake. We have to have accountability. We have to have someone say, this is federal law. If you do not abide by it, we have exactly one power in Congress. We can't enforce law. We don't have executive authority. We can pull your funding. And by the way, that's what's going to happen next. They're never going to do it. That's the thing. DOJ, FBI, the other entities in the government have looked over and said, I'm going to call your bluff. I don't think you have any balls to go and follow through on what you said you would do. Then the evidence is we look at the past performance and we use that to predict the future behavior. And the behavior is you're going to fold first. Maybe you'll have like a sternly worded letter.
And they thought about all the angles. Here's the sad part. There's nothing in there but a few more pictures of Trump at public events. There's nothing there. It's all for Bill Clinton and Larry Summers and Lex Wexner and all of it. But Trump has decided to do this. So now they're going to have their cake and eat it too. Not ever really even release the garbage, and then turn around and act like he's covering it up when Trump's already said over and over again, fine, release it. Oh, we can't. Oh, and then, okay, do release it. Don't release it. I mean, this is a total quagmire.
It makes him look bad and weak. And so you brought up polling, and essentially Democrats are underwater with their own base, with their own people who would vote Democrat as a default. You know, registered Democrats have a lower approval rating of Democrats than they previously have had. And that's interesting. So we're over here on the political right. I'm not a Republican, but I vote generally that way because what other options do we have if we have people that are going to, you know, lean closer to conservative than not? And when I see it, it's like, okay, well, the midterms are going to be a loss unless you claim them. And I don't think that their Republicans have to win them back. I think they are actively losing them by not keeping to their word. Because people look, they won't vote pro-Democrat if they're on the fence, if they're in the middle, if they're in an independent. They'll vote anti-Republican because you promised me something and you're not going to do it. You said something and you didn't follow through. I expect you to be a person of your word.
And the only way to do that is to say, if you think Epstein's important, you're an idiot, you don't support me, I don't want your vote.
He's dead. And all of this stuff is dead along with him, unless you make it something. I mean, they're breathing life into a story that should have been handled in the first couple of weeks of the administration. Just rip the Band-Aid off, deal with the problem. You had your attorney general going out making promises, and you didn't ever deliver on those promises. That's the thing that I think makes the people on the right most frustrated. If you promise me something, even if it's something I end up not wanting, give it to me. You said you were going to give it to me. Give it to me. And then I deal with it. It's like, oh, you're right. I really don't like driving a stick shift.
How dumb do they think we are with those folders of old information?
Well, that's the other problem. You've got an entrenched part of both the entire political establishment is sort of entrenched with this. But even the GOP has this issue where they're still trying to do 1990s, early 2000s PR and messaging, where if we give you people that you like, then you will react the way that we want you to. Put on the MAGA hat, hold up this stupid binder, and get nothing, but it's from people that you like. And so this has become synonymous with what they call Con Inc. And I know Ben Shapiro gets lumped in there. My buddy just called it, Brian Matta just called it Slop Inc. It's this slop garbage where it's really a sloppy information op, and they expect people not to have alternative sources, not have any sort of anything outside of the main sort of narrative coming at them, so they can't choose anything else. But that's not what we're living in right now. We actually do have alternatives. We've actually even had the throttle pulled off of places like YouTube. Like, I've got a YouTube channel that's slowly growing right now for the first time in 3 years. So that's interesting. It tells me that the throttle has come off. Some of that is Donald Trump's doing, I think. He put people into his cabinet. He put people into even FBI. In Andrew Bailey, who was working the Missouri v. Biden case, and they kind of came at the Biden administration and said, hey, you can't go and lean on social media. You can't go lean on alternative media.
Sure, well, let's be clear. And the streaming. This is my analysis on that. They've cut a bunch of the NGO funding. They've removed a bunch of the agents that were running the censorship. So at least it's not offense, but he's removed their attacks. It's more of a shielding move, just like pulling a $41 billion U.S. deal with the U.K. because they're trying to sue the U.S. with the EU and censor us. That's good. And that's what frustrates is Trump is doing a lot of good. So when we bitch and complain, at least from my perspective, I'm trying to get them to course correct because we need this to succeed. But you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you don't want to add and subtract at the same time. If you're going to do less good, then don't do the bad. And if you're going to do some bad things, you better do an awful lot of good so you can out-message it. And this is the issue. People wanted more of what Donald Trump promised, not less. People didn't want him to like half-ass this. They said you started off as a hurricane coming out. You literally sat on a stage while a parade was going on. And what was he doing? He's signing executive orders in the first few hours. No time to waste. Time is of the essence. This is the end. This is like the final push, or we don't make it in this sort of messaging. And people looked at it and they went, good. A sense of imminence is what we all feel. If you go out and talk to people on the street regularly, and I do so, and they're not necessarily political people, but they feel a sense of unease. They don't feel at ease and comfortable and thinking like, well, everything's under control. It's going to be fine. They think my life and my finances are at a tipping point. Our country is at a tipping point. We're always kind of walking down this razor's edge. And some of that is by design. I mean, it's a long walk. It's 100+ years of us getting to the point where every single vote and every single election could split 50-50 and we could see radical change in policy. We're not supposed to do that as a country, by the way. We're supposed to have a lot more consistency. But if you promise a U-turn and you deliver me foot off the gas only, like you only slow down the agenda that we had a problem with, that's not going to be good enough. And when those of us that are parents that are looking at young kids going in it, people who have a little bit older kids that are looking about them going into the job market, you know, a tiny drop in inflation is not going to be the answer. We had a moment to recorrect in 2008, 2009. I was looking at inflation numbers. The first time in the last 25 years, the only time that we had negative inflation, which means deflated currency, which means your dollar was worth more, happened just after the financial collapse in 2008. And if you're not going to do it that way and have a huge meltdown, which was a big deal for a lot of people, then you better start like hitting the brakes really hard in other ways and showing people that you are accomplishing the mission that you said. And one of these things, this is why Epstein is always emblematic, because one, it's salacious. It involves sex. It involves young women. It involves, you know, two systems of power. It involves the possibility and the tiered system of justice where people can have access and they don't have to actually live in the world that you and I live in. So everybody kind of looks at that as a harbinger of what's to come. Are we going to get more of that crap? And that guy gets away, like even his reputation in death gets to still be kind of shady, but nobody wants to touch it. Or do we live in a world where we go, sunlight disinfects all, we're going to take our medicine, we're going to swallow it down, and we're going to deal with whatever the consequences are. And if that means that a bunch of people who are senators or world leaders around the globe, they don't get to be able to look themselves in the mirror anymore and have any self-respect because everyone else knows what kind of demon they are, so be it. I think Americans are fine with that. I think regular people who vote for Donald Trump,
no, I agree.
Regular
people if Trump doesn't do this,
care about that.
He's destroyed himself just because he wanted to protect the political establishment when we know it's not even him doing the actual screwing of the 14-year-olds. So something you said is a key
here. All he's doing is he's setting up an easy narrative for someone to say otherwise. Because if the answer is prove it, you know, think about this. This is like classic bully talk. It's like, I'm going to beat your face in. And then somebody goes, well, prove it. Like coming at me. I saw a guy the other day. He looked like he was a smaller dude, angry man confronting him, said, you said something nasty to my wife. He said, what do you want to do about it? And the guy's like, you know, I want to beat your ass. He's like, let's do it right now. If you call someone out, you call that bluff. And the answer is more talk, more obfuscation, a lot of posturing. Then we know what the consequence is. It's nothing. And if you say you need to release these files, we passed the law, Congress has spoken, and Congress does nothing, and DOJ says we can flout it, we've got a real serious, and you called it the other day, constitutional crisis. Not in the way the Democrats are talking about. That's a legitimate crisis when your legislative branch cannot make direction that the executive goes out and does. That's tragic. And we're seeing it happen right now on something that should be a no-brainer. It's an easy win for the Trump administration to just say, we're taking our medicine, whatever it was. Yeah, call it a hoax, call it whatever. People have a memory and they have old video clips and they're going to go out and play it from whether it was him running in, in 2024, where they're talking about it and all the surrogates are out going talking about it. Or you go back as far as like 2015, 2016, when he first hit the trail and he promised some really aggressive reform in this country. People wanted to see something change. They wanted to feel what America was a period of time ago. And I'll tell you one last little thought on this. I had somebody in my comment section that said something like, isn't it funny that Serafin thinks that Clinton era politics was peak America? Well, it's not me that's saying that. I'm looking out and seeing what Donald Trump's policies more or less are. And they're basically 90s Democrat policies. They're not even to the right of where I live. He's not doing that. He's doing things where America saw post Cold War, max freedom. People had a lot of hope. I lived through it. You lived through it. People who lived through it, remember, even if you didn't like Bill Clinton, people felt proud of being an American. They thought we won and we were the good guys. We've lost that. That's what I thought Make America Great Again meant.
Well, that shows how radical Democrats have gotten. We have Chuck Schumer in the 90s signing bills to blow up drug boats and record-level deportations and saying they're sucking off Social Security, and it's a 180. It's that they've gotten even more insane, and then Trump is just a moderate, basically.
He is. He's a moderate. For anyone to claim that he's a radical conservative is nuts. I mean, there are conservative people. He's not one of them. And I accept that America is probably not as far to the right as someone like me lives. That's fine. So let's look at what that is. To say that a basically 90s Democrat, a relatively moderate position for today, is fascist and totalitarian, it shows you how much compromise won't work. You can't make deals with the devil, as you were alluding to earlier. You make deals with the devil and you find out that all you do is lose ground every single time because you're playing in the devil's playground. We can't do that. So we're now at this moment where we're seeing them say it. I keep updating the American, the Associated Press to see if they're going to bring this stuff out. But at the end of the day, we're going to see the clock run out on the Epstein files, which means they're going to be in violation of federal law. And then nothing happens. That's the worst case scenario. Nothing happens and nobody cares.
Well,
and no
clear,
funding and no
have
consequences.
A huge fiasco. And embarrass Trump with hearings, but then watch, they won't push because we know everything coming out is 99% bad on Democrats, which again,
it's all image. It's all PR. This is a PR battle and they're losing because they're blinking in a game of chicken that you can't lose. You just put it out there and then deal with the consequences.
Absolutely. Wow. All right. Well, let's talk about how you see this unfolding, advice to Trump to extricate himself from this. And then I want to look at some of the other angles of what's happening at the shakeup of DOJ, because that is important, folks. Most important federal department to save the country. Everybody with a brain agrees is the DOJ. I mean, we can't fix that. I need you to support the broadcast financially, and I just need those of you on the fence that have never gone to theawesomestore.com to go get the ultramethylene blue. I'm only going to sell something that's really good for you and works great. Because again, a good salesman sells a product that works and is good and that I use. So take the challenge, go to theawesomestore.com now. And get ultramethylene blue. And it's the greatest because it's so good it hits in like 30 minutes. But the real effects happen the days and weeks as it builds up in you. The Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, that's going to take a few weeks to kick in. You get your wife pregnant, she'd have a baby for 9 months, folks. You only got to wait a few weeks with this. The effects of these are incredible. Again, I can do hours on each product. And these are the best. You study Irish sea moss, you study Shilajit, you study bovine colostrum. It's all the rage forever. These are sure things. I don't go get stuff that isn't already a sure thing. It's so easy. 90% of my waking hours is doing nothing but studying and broadcasting and fighting. And I just want you to keep me commissioned in this fight. Where have you seen results like this? And it's not me. I'm not the opposite of prideful. I'm God-fearing. I fear nothing but God. I'm actually fearful of the position I've been put in by God that I'm like, you need to do a better job. It's the opposite. I'm mad at myself. The crew can tell you behind the scenes. I am pissed off at myself. I am angry that I've been given so much power and I'm not executing it correctly. But God loves sudden death over time. God loves keeping you humble. When you buy from us, you're going to get a great product and you're betting on an organization that has the track record of victory. That's why the bad guys hate us. We know what we're doing. We know how to stop them. They want us off air. If I'm going to sell you something because I'm self-funded, it's going to work. You are missing out so bad if you don't get our Ultra DNA Revival new product, our incredible highest quality, the very best type of creatine gummies and powder, our bovine colostrum, all of it. 60% off right now. It ends next week. Get your orders in by tomorrow. You'll get it anywhere in the country before Christmas. But we need the support. And like I said, I'm out of money. I'm out of stuff to sell. I'm out of whatever. We have about a $400,000 underage going into next month. I mean, literally, to pay the rent and the payroll. I've got my Rolodex out. And I mean, there'll be no strings attached. But I'm starting to call people and folks saying, all right, you know, give me money. Because I ain't giving up. As much as I don't like begging for money, I give it up to the New World Order and rolling over and dying. I hate that even more. But I am literally down to the point now. My parents have lost everything they got. I don't have anything. I don't care. I'm happier than ever. I never had a bunch of stuff. But it doesn't matter when you're up against the wall and you ain't got no more to give. You understand? I'm giving you everything I got. And quite frankly, I'm more alive. I'm stronger. I'm smarter than I've ever been. In fact, I'm high as a kite in this fight. I love this. But the fact is only a fraction of our people are engaged. Oh, the Muslims are engaged. The Jews are engaged. I'm not attacking either group. You know why they're so powerful? They're engaged. They're involved in their group. Well, who are we? Well, we're Americans of every race, color, and creed that just want freedom and our country and our republic. Well, then you better start acting like it.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, he said it dozens of times. They bring up Epstein to him, and Trump goes, them blaming me is a hoax. Sometimes he goes that far. It's a hoax. But he said, I told him just release everything. But he goes, some of it I don't control. It's in the courts. And the Democrats go and fight to not have the grand jury stuff released. So for everybody out there, like Kyle said, we were on yesterday, the day before, there's not some holy list, some magic place. And as much litigation and stuff as there is, It never ends. It's the gift that keeps on giving. So, but now in the culture, it's bigger than the JFK assassination. People want the answers. Well, most of the answers have already been removed. There's got to be a way for Trump to come out and communicate that fully to people and explain it and say, you see what they keep releasing? New York Post photos of me at beauty pageants with women's faces blacked out so they can act like their kids or something. I mean, he should go on the offense on this. And I look at Todd Blanche. You know, Trump's ordered them repeatedly. Go ahead and release it. And then, oh, sorry, we can't. They know full well. Todd Blanche knows full well that rests on Trump. So as you were the one that said like 10 months ago, you said, no, there's going to be people in the DOJ setting Trump up and setting Bongino up and setting Patel up. They don't pay very close attention and get an expert in what they're doing. And you nailed it. The deputy director gets all the real jobs. He's up all night being given crises. Patel stepped in purely just like Bondi does, it's just, you know, showboating around and, you know, partying or whatever. And so these guys are just movie starring it, not realizing what a serious situation they're in. And from my information, Trump's sick of them all. So I think what you said a few days ago is right. I think we see major shakeups in the new year. So how could Trump extricate himself from this tar baby swamp setup? And then where do you see this going into the future? And then your accurate prediction of the day of Bongino, what does that signify?
Well, it signifies that he got wrapped up right away. I mean, I think I sent you guys something from April of 2025. So April 23rd was the first tweet that I could find when I went back and looked at my timeline. And I think I actually said it to you about 2 weeks before that. So it was really obvious to me that he wasn't happy with what he was doing, that he didn't like what he was doing. And he made a really terrible misstep. He reached out to my buddy, Steve Friend, and he said, hey, why don't you come in and work for me so I can stay away from the snakes? We know they're out there and I don't speak FBI and you do. Would you come sit in a meeting and tap me on the thigh and let me know when someone's lying to me? That's actually a really smart thing to do. Go get someone who's got, you know, who's been aggrieved.
If you're Lewis and Clark, you hire two Native American guides or you're dead.
It's really straight. Yeah, exactly that. You just find a local who knows what's going on. Steve Friend's a local, and he's also got a reason to be. He's proven himself before you had a chance to ask. It's one of the things that I use for the sourcing that I have. A lot of the people, I've known them for a long time, long before I was ever out in the public. So if they reach out to me, I'm not going to out them. We're naturally communicating anyway. And I know that they don't have anything to sell me. They're like, I get people that say, oh, I was an FBI agent. Can I talk to you? It's like, absolutely not. I don't know you. You know, I got to go vet you if I'm going to find out who you are. Steve would have been that guy. He was previously out there.
Young people think they know it all. You may have a lot of native intelligence, which we respect. But as you get older, you know more people. You've been through more. You've seen the scams. And then also, beyond what you just said, people you know, it's people you've known that are consistently right and have credibility, which, like, you, that's what it's all about. It's about proving.
Alex, I had a reporter reach out to me yesterday, the day before, and sent me a message that was really troubling. It was like, hey, we're about to, essentially saying, I'm writing a hit piece on you, and here's the things that I want you to respond to. And they were all salacious nonsense. And so I'm reading it, and I was like, my first instinct, my young man instinct, is to go out social media, get ahead of the problem, go out like, this is the thing. And then I remembered, age old thing. This is the thing the Trump administration forgets. When you're explaining, you're losing. If you're out there going, even if you're getting ahead of a story, I see Bongino do it all the time. It's a juvenile move. He's the New York Times has bad info.
I don't even read it anymore, but we get emails. We're about to run a story about a woman being raped in your office. I know it's not true. Don't even respond.
So if I'm going to respond to it, though, I'm not going to respond to it the way that they expect me to, which is to get ahead of the story or to go out there and defend myself. I do the thing that is Socratic. It's natural to me as an investigator. I call them and I find out what they know. So I go, well, who's asking you to write the story? What do you understand it to mean? You listed some facts. Where'd you get them? What's your sourcing? I'd like to respond to it, but I don't understand.
I used to do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a waste of time.
It's always like noon. It's like, we're going with this at 6 p.m. You've got 6 hours.
Yeah.
This person says this person says that. In the old days, I call them and say, how much did you pay them? Blah, blah, blah.
You can dismantle them that way. And you can also ignore them. But at the end of the day, the thing that you want is you want to be a little bit smarter and stop doing the same mistakes that you've been doing. So you ask, what's the technology, what's the technique they got to be using? Some of it is Socratic. You can dismantle a lot of these things with the questions of the people that are making the allegation. That should be really easy.
The second thing is
radical transparency.
Explain the Socratic
method. I just ask you questions. So you tell me, I'm going to write this thing about you, and this is what I believe is going on. And I say, great. I said, how much do you trust the source that gave it to you? Oh, I believe this much. And they go, great. And what other examples of times have they been accurate? I just ask questions until you know that you don't know enough to actually be asking me. So I never tell you I don't have to tell you anything. I let you come to the conclusion that what you're doing is a bad idea.
While you're turning it around on them.
That's it. I'm what do they call it? It's called eliciting in intelligence. So I'm asking questions and I'm doing it in a friendly way and I'm not being combative. I'll just continue to dismantle you. They do this in law school as well. But at the end of the day, that tactic is if you want to go and take something apart. If you want to end a current scandal, which is ongoing, then you have to face the music. There were some things in Kentucky Fried Chicken that had this problem. I did a whole special on this where they ran out of chicken in the UK at a Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is probably the cardinal sin of a chicken restaurant. And so they just went out and they said, we effed up. And they took the letters of Kentucky Fried Chicken and they moved them to spell F-C-K on their bucket. And they just said, we blew it. You know, sorry that we didn't have chicken when you came in. And people just go like, okay, got it. Like, you acknowledge you just didn't order properly. You move on from the scandal by owning the scandal.
I told the White House this. The Democrats are promoting pedophilia everywhere. it's Democrats all in the files, lean into it and go to total war. But again,
and this is how I would do it. Yep. Listen, you got a few more days where Dan Bongino's sitting in that office. So bring him out, send him at a press conference, bring the agents that are assigned to this case, the case managers, anybody who's been involved in it, your analysts, the people who have done the technical evidence analysis, forensic accountants, whatever, put them all on a panel, make sure that you've got everything that you can declassified, and then answer questions from the press in an open way for as long as it takes. If it takes 6, 7, 8 hours, run them out to the point where they're so bored with the story that they're leaving the auditorium or they're leaving the press room. And they're like, I just don't think, like, these guys are telling us everything. Whenever people would ask me questions about, they thought something shady was happening in my background, or they thought something shady was happening because we were going to go interview them. I'm with the FBI at the time. And I want to go, it's like, fine, what do you want to know about what we're doing? I'll tell you what the investigation is. Sometimes I would say, listen, I don't want you to answer any questions. I just want you to listen. I'm going to present to you my case. Can I tell you what I think is going on? You feel free to interject, but you don't have to. Okay. And then you tell
By
them.
By the way,
people
I wasn't trained
in
that, but I've got people to expose corruption for. I just instinctively knew that when somebody was paranoid. I'm like, listen, I've just got an idea what these people are doing. I heard you were a good guy. I'm not going to get you in the middle of this. I just if you let me tell you my story, and if you think that's accurate or you can fix it, or if I'm part right, and then they want to tell you.
It's a different kind of sales tactic. There are different sales tactics. For me, that's it. It's like, here's what the product is. Here's what I know about it. Here's why I think it's great for what you described your problem to be. Does that sound interesting to you? Do you have any questions for me? And if you just lay it out there and you're willing to do that, it's not combative. And they could have done this. They could have done this in the beginning, which is what they should have done. And I think I made the argument at the time. I'll make the argument again. You got a few more days on the clock. Sit out there and get ahead of this. You're supposed to do it anyway. Reveal all of it. You know, they've already done the redactions. I told you a long time ago, I want to say we did this in April, where we sat down and I told you they were doing all the aggressive redactions. They're putting out, maxing out overtime, getting all the victims' names that needed to be redacted and all that stuff. So that's been done.
So this claim by Blanche and Mondi is horse crap. That they're still,
I don't know why they're running out the clock, other than
Trump looks stupid.
I
got the article right here. They say they're redacting names of victims still.
That's what they claim. But listen, they said they've gone through this with AI for 9 months and they can't get it done. Then they probably shouldn't exist. So all of that is to say, we're seeing this weird deflection and we're seeing more discussion of DOJ and FBI than I've ever seen in my entire life. So it's weird for me to be someone talking about what I always refer to as my ex-girlfriend. It's a relationship that I would be happy to move on from. I'd be happy to talk about other things that are interesting to me. But this is front and center. And I know it's front and center because when I go to other mainstream outlets, if I go to listen to see what Glenn Beck is talking about, then Glenn Beck is talking about the same things that I think are problematic, which is mid-level managers and all the sort of people that run these agencies. They're all still there. You can't do reform with the same people. We brought a little clip of like Harmeet Dhillon talking about it, and watch how she doesn't answer the question. That's really the key. Nobody has a real answer because nobody wants to say, look, man, we don't actually run these agencies. They run themselves. We're figureheads. We can handle small departments and minimal change. But at the end of the day, you either got to scrap it and start from scratch, or you just accept the fact that you have disloyal people to the agenda you're putting out. And they've accepted it, but they won't say it to people. I think if you just said that, then they'd be okay with it. If you guys want to hear the Harmeet Dhillon, she'll say it in her own words. Just watch the pivot when she doesn't answer Glenn's question.
All right, we got this Harmeet Dhillon clip. Here it is.
Do you think that the people at the FBI and the DOJ in all levels realize that, because I know you do, do they realize how to the end the American people are? They're starting to lose faith. If we don't start to see people at least charged and have a fair trial, I'm not even saying that they go to jail. Hopefully they would if they broke a law. But, you know, showing these people, because we keep getting investigation after investigation after investigation, and then it just sits there, you know? There's a story out today about, you know, the Clinton Foundation and all the investigations, what they found. I don't have any faith that nobody's going to jail for that.
Nobody's going to go to jail for that.
And we're at this place to where it's up to the DOJ and the FBI to do their job and then start bringing some justice, because if we lose in 28 and you haven't cleaned up and set clear rules of the law does matter, all these people got away with it last time. It's going to be 1,000 times worse in 2028.
No, I hear you, and I'm worried about it. I'm a citizen who loves this country, and as you know, I've donated countless millions of dollars of my billable time to being engaged in politics. And so here's, let me just set some expectations. So you come into the DOJ, I had about 400 attorneys plus working in my department. I have one third of that now, because when I set the rules of what we're going to do here in this department, two thirds of the people peaced out and quit. And some of the ones who are left behind are leaking to the press what we are doing. And so that's the fight in my department. Okay. And then you look at where does most of this work occur? When you look at the hundreds of thousands, over 100,000 people who work at the Department of Justice, a lot of them work for the FBI. Well, it's only the very top layer of that that is politically appointed and committed to the president's agenda. I would say the vast majority of that agency is, legacy doing what they're doing, much of which was not good for America, I'm going to say.
Now, Elon Musk said that 6 months ago to Rogan. He said, listen, we elected Trump the captain, but half the ship's mutinous. It's more than that. So, again, the leftists, they just leave. The super hardcore saboteurs, they stay. The real spies stay. And then you've got a few people in management that are halfway good. I mean, really, how do you fix something that is this ingrained and systemic?
He just told you what the problem was. You can't get rid of them all. The people that are going to leave are going to leave. The people that are going to stay are going to keep doing the thing they were doing before. So Harmy Dillon's pretty bright. And she's gone into there, and maybe they've turned and they've gotten some cases that they want to run, and she's doing the Second Amendment thing now, and she's interested in pivoting civil rights to be, sort of necessary. And they're going to not look at it as a way to go after white supremacists, which is kind of what they previously did. They would name anybody a white supremacist. I think you guys were listed as a racially motivated violent extremist group at one point. So they'll go after anybody if they can use that weapon that way. But she just told you the entrenched management, the entrenched everything is there. So let's zoom back out on we just got word that Dan Bongino's leaving. What does it mean, right? That's the bigger question. I think it means that he always was going to fail because he didn't pick the right people early, and that was obvious to me within a couple of weeks. But maybe that's not obvious to everybody.
You predicted when he first got approved confirmation, you said he'll be gone by the year. You know you did that by the end of the year.
But it was so easy to see. The analysis was really there. I'll show you why, by the way.
I brought you a clip. Patel's so bad at first you thought he'd have to go, but now you're saying he's so bad they might like him staying there.
I don't know if they're going to. I can't imagine them keeping him. I hope Donald Trump does exactly. He's bringing so much negative attention
because he's so embarrassing.
You'd think. How many times can you tell the president that you got somebody in custody for a major? We haven't even talked about Brown, but for a major investigation, and then and be wrong and make him be wrong.
If
you go
Brown,
make your boss look bad.
Well, finish up with Bongino and the news.
Yeah, let me finish that. Couple little quick clips. We have one of Liz Harrington. She's a former Trump spokesperson. She's on a team Trump. She's one of the people that follows me. I feel like she's been listening to what I've been saying, whether she's getting it from me or from people that are saying the same thing as me is kind of irrelevant.
Everybody's getting it from you, which is not it's not a competition. It's dangerous for you, but yes, you've got the
zeitgeist.
Great.
So listen to what she has to say about the answer. She has a different take on what it means about Bongino. Again, you got a few days with him. Set him down and make him do the Epstein press conference, because that's what he came out there and he spent enough time talking about it. He should know. Liz Harrington comes out and says exactly what needs to be done. If you can't get people on your team, then you can't even use that team anymore. You might have to start a new team. You might have to restart the franchise. And she says essentially that on Fox.
Here's a clip.
Newsmax.
Go ahead, guys, play it. Yes,
and also word that it might be Andrew Bailey who was brought in, the former AG, to take his place.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. He's already co-deputy director, which I think was kind of a sign that Dan Bongino was not going to stay in his role for that long. I really think that this is more proof that the FBI needs not really major reform, but to be dismantled and to be shut down. It is inherently corrupt. And when you bring in people with good intentions that try to change things from the top, it's really difficult if you don't change all the people at the bottom. And you still reportedly have 6 members of the FBI who were on the Get Trump operation, Arctic Frost, as it's called, that are still working at the FBI. You have the lead prosecutor on the so-called pipe bomber case, who literally tried to frame President Trump for January 6th. When you have the FBI trying to arrest him and imprison him to prevent him from running for office. So these people are still at the FBI and they're running the show. And sadly, it's not going to be reformed if that remains to be the case.
You know, Liz, that's a really interesting take.
It's good to see them saying we know, but we already know this, Kyle. You've explained it.
So. I'm just getting at If it's getting out there to people that are not me saying it and are listening, and Harmy Dillon said the same thing. She just didn't make the same argument, but she's saying the same thing. You know, Harmy Dillon just said that there are mid-level managers that are working from the inside of the Oreo out. My buddy called it like a, you know, like a poop cookie, and the cream is the problem. You know, you can have the people at the bottom that are working their way, and they're getting the work done on the ground if they're given good direction. People at the top may have the same thing, but if the majority of the transmission space from the senior executive, here's our vision, to the actual people that go do the work, if it's not happening, and there's people that are screwing with it along the way. The story that I was talking about that I got this phone call about, I think it's actually relevant. It came from an episode that happened between me and one of my fellow agents in the desert in the middle of New Mexico. We were out shooting on a range and we did something that people do every day. And by the time it got up to the management in Washington, D.C., who worked for Chris Ray, you know, it was a new story. It had nothing to do with reality other than the fact that I did regular firearms training. So they want to comment on that. It's like, well, the game of telephone is a problem in the federal bureaucracy. And if the middle of it is corrupted and intentionally destroying the signal, that's what you're hearing Liz say. That's what you're actually hearing Harmeet say without saying it. She's not making that argument because she's inside DOJ.
No, it's true. It's really easy for them to do. And so we know that. Then what could Trump do? Is there any way to extricate ourselves out of this?
Not without really breaking. I mean, I heard Ben Shapiro on the last hour, and you were playing him, and he says, you know, breaking the system is not an answer. It might have to be the only answer. You know, there's a point in time where you're like, it may be a dog that I used to like, but now it has rabies. You got to put it down. If the dog is the problem, I think even the Bible says, if it's your right hand that's the problem, then lop it off. You know, if your eye is the problem, yeah, on your left, then pluck it out.
How do we the system then?
It needs to be like the people that work there at the ground level that are investigators. They can be easily moved. There's an entire job code of 1811. Every federal agent is an 1811. You can move them to anywhere else. We got we got two dozen agencies that have 1811s. Commerce Department has them.
That's right. You can send them to the Marshal Service quickly. Russians send them to Siberia. We send them to the North Pole.
That's right. Well, there's certainly people that are useful. But that was the argument I made to Kash Patel right away. If your management core is the problem, then promote them to Guam. Move them to Guam and make them in charge of federal investigations in their house. And stop coming out of your house until they quit. Don't fire them. Don't do that, because then you'll be in lawsuits forever. Just send them over there. What you'd pay in a lawsuit is what you'll pay them in salary. So just move them out of the way. This is what Hoover used to do, by the way. He'd move people to Montana and places that they didn't want to go. That sounds like a dream to me right now.
Yeah.
But they didn't want that.
Please.
You move people to Alaska. That also sounds nice. So don't move them to Alaska. But move them to Guam or move them to Puerto Rico. There's a lot of crime in Puerto Rico. Go deal with that. Get the hell away from where the power is. So this was the argument that I made to Patel in January. You need to get rid of the problem and send all the problem people. You don't fire them. You make them go somewhere else and do a job that they leave on their own. Then they have no recourse against you. They can't file lawsuits. They can't go out and complain about it.
Let me raise this.
All right. So that's that.
As they go full whole hog now, starting next week, or the new year for sure, 24/7 Epstein, Trump DOJ covering it up, even though he said release it, they're not. What does Trump do? Because he's going to get pissed now.
Whoa. You need to do a big shake. Yeah. I mean, look, the policy at the Trump administration was no scalps. Like, nobody loses their job. We don't hurt anybody's feelings. It's a nice sentiment. It's from a nice idea. It's like, if you came out there and decided to work for me, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to screw up your future job prospects. Well, it turns out we got something a little bit bigger, as you like to talk about. And I feel pretty strongly about it. Sometimes you're going to have to break some eggs. You're going to probably have to hurt some feelings if people are not getting the job done. And that's not a mean thing to say. That
well,
just
I mean,
says
look, we're
you
in
didn't
total
do it.
Crisis,
let's get someone
and the
else.
Bureaucracy was going to keep spending money till like there's no debate on 100 fronts. We have to reform the country or it's over.
And you, listen, you don't leave your favorite quarterback in the game, for example, just because he's historically been good and he took you to the end. If he's injured and he's not getting the job done, you pull him and then you put someone in for the second half. We're basically moving into what? Like the second quarter, but if we don't have it by halftime, which is the midterms, then you don't get another half. You're going to get mercy ruled out of this game. So that's what you have to look
halftime.
At. Imminence.
We got to have
You have to. Well, you have to at least be in the game at halftime. And he's not going to be in the game if he's dealing with nothing but, you know, indictments from the other side. And he's dealing with impeachments in the House if you lose
it. Well, that's why I said that. If we lose the House and Senate, then that puts them in the command position.
It doesn't mean America's over, by the way. That's not the black pill we're selling. It just means that this particular term is now a waste. The next 2 years will be just a waste of time.
Yeah,
and
but they've said,
maybe it ends up really dangerous. Maybe not. I don't know I can't see the future, and you may see better than I do. But what I can say is maybe it goes back to the states and America doesn't actually survive as a country. That's a real possibility that I keep looking at. I just don't think it immediately goes to like the zombie apocalypse. I think more likely it's like the states just go, okay, well, the federal government is so defunct that we now have to handle business for our own citizens in our state, that may be okay. I mean, there will be a turning of whatever that looks like. But if you want to see the status quo of America and everybody looks at themselves as an American and not a Texan first or a Montanan or a Californian or New Yorker, then you better try to maintain this union in a meaningful way. And right now, it means that you get your job done. That means you may have to get out some cabinet positions and some sub-cabinet people. They may have to be fired, and they may have to be fired really publicly. And if they told you that they weren't going to get it done, I got a clip from Fox for you about Bongino, how I knew it was going
to
happen.
Stay there. Let's do 5 more minutes. I got to go to break. 5 more minutes. Put some bookends on this, and then we're going to have the great Jay Dyer come in and take over. Kyle, I really appreciate you spending time with us. TheKyleSerafinShow.com. Follow him on X. It's not hard to find him. Rumble.com/KyleSerafin. Really kicking ass. And you judge a tree by its fruits. Incredible accuracy. I want to hit any other little bit of time, any other big things that he wants to tell us about that he thinks are coming down the road, straight ahead. Separately, I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, fruit punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I've never Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number 4 straight ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.